Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
All right, again, we are going to be in chapter 22, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 10, and for the last two or three weeks in particular, in the morning services and in the evening services, I hope you've noticed that I have been pushing and I have been trying to encourage folks to take an interest in all of the services and in all of the ministry, everything that we do as a church. Tonight, when we read this passage, I hope you see from the onset when I read it and we look at it, why I have taken such an emphasis in it. Beginning with verse 10, John says, "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." May God add blessing to the reading of His Word. What we see tonight is the Lord Himself has really stepped up His tone. As He is closing down what He is showing John and giving John as a way of communication, as a way of the revelation, Jesus is stepping up and He is saying, pay attention and take note, because in the latter days, people will reject me. People will turn away from me, and those that turn away, let them turn away. And those that will come to me, let them come to me. So as John is continuing his message, the message to John, the angel told him not to seal up these words. Now this is a little different message than what has been given to many of the prophets in the past. In the Old Testament, several of the prophets there, they were told to seal it up. Daniel was given a vision, and Daniel was told to seal that vision. Many scholars tonight believe that the vision that Daniel was given and told to seal is the same vision that John was given in the book of Revelation. The only thing, it was shown to Daniel, and Daniel was told to close it up. It's not yours to reveal right now. In another day, another time, and through another person, I will reveal it. And many believe that that vision, that what Daniel saw, was what John was given to reveal in the book of Revelation. Daniel chapter 8, verse 26, and Daniel chapter 12, verses 4 through 10, give a little bit of an overview of what I just described there. But in either case, God's word, the angel says, do not seal this prophecy. Why? It is an immediate proclamation of the book of Revelation. An immediate proclamation. It is something that is going to take place. It is imminent. Now there is a difference between immediate and imminent. Immediate means it is going to take place right now. Imminent means it will take place, but it will be at a point in the future. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church, those are all imminent things. However, they may not be immediate. What is immediate is the word, the revelation that was given to John. That was given in an immediate sense, and from the time it was given to John, it has been available to be preached and to be taught and to be studied and to be learned for all generations. So the giving of the revelation of John's God, of the revelation of Jesus Christ here on the Isle of Patmos, that revelation itself was immediate for the teaching and for the edifying and for the maturing of the church. It is something that is very necessary and very needed, especially in the day that we live in. We have covered this before in some other services, but all of the Bible authors, all of those who have written and contributed and the Holy Spirit moved through, whether it is Paul or Peter or John or James or whomever, they all believed that the Lord was going to return in their lifetime because they believed the signs of His coming were at hand then. And I don't doubt it because of the sinful nature of man. I don't doubt it at all. But think of this. If they were convinced in their apostleship that the Lord was going to be coming in their day, and that was 2,000 years ago, how much closer are we tonight at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture of His church than they were then? When we look at the news and we hear about the filth and the vulgarity and the vileness that is taking place around the world, when we look out into our own community, we live in the Bible Belt. Things that are taking place and being tolerated in San Francisco and Los Angeles. Things that are taking place and being tolerated in Atlanta and Pittsburgh and Chicago and New York. They have never been tolerated in the Bible Belt until today. Today you can go 20 minutes up Interstate 40 into Asheville, and you can find all of the sexual perversion that you want in homosexuality and lesbianism and transgender movements. You can find any of that nastiness and any of that filth, any of that sin. You can find the abortion clinics as close as Charlotte. There was one in Asheville until a couple of years ago, and it got closed down. It is right here in our own backyards. I've said it time after time, again and again. I never thought I would live to see the day where there were more bars on Main Street, more bail bondsmen on Main Street, more pawn shops on Main Street than there were legitimate businesses on Main Street in this county, in this town. I'm going to give away my age. I remember when I was small, I remember you not being able to go to town on Sunday. It done you no good to go to town on Sunday because nothing was open. Then a little later, you could open up at 1 o'clock after church let out. I remember that vividly. On a holiday, forget it. You're not going to go to a restaurant. You're not going to go anywhere on a holiday. It's like a ghost town. Now, open up at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. The fast food restaurants are selling their biscuits and selling their coffee at sunrise on Sunday, just like they were on sunrise on Saturday and will be at sunrise on Monday. There's no concern about God in America. There's no concern about anything except the God of a dollar bill. Businesses and corporations are interested in the bottom line. Why is the stock market doing so well tonight? Because of greed. That's why it's doing so well. Because all we hear about is money. All we hear about is what the price of the stocks are. How they have increased and closed on the day. How we've reached this pinnacle and we've set this mark and we've set this and we've done that. For every pinnacle and every record that is set on the stock market, we have lowered the morals and the godly values that have taken place in America because we have sold them out for an investment. We have sold them out for the worship of a dollar bill. Ask someone today how they can get by and how they can live on just a basic, fundamental process of getting by the best way they can. Not suffering, not living in poverty. I'm not saying that. But not having the luxuries that we have in life. We'd rather have our luxuries. We'd rather have our profit. We'd rather have our 401ks. We had rather have our wealth. We had rather have all of the material things and yet do away with godliness and holiness. That is what Revelation is telling us. Revelation is telling us and showing us a picture and giving us the story of what is going to happen to humanity because of our selfishness, because of our self-righteousness, because of our greed, because of all of those sins that God warns us of. Yet we are going to go down that path anyway. At least a portion of society is going to do that. We read in verse 11 the details of it. John says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still." What do we gather from that? Those who bear and who hear the truth and continue to do wrong, continue to ignore God's word, continue to go the other direction, continue to be rebellious, as we talked about this morning, they are going to fix their eternal destiny. And that eternal destiny is going to be in hell. Just as sure as there is a heaven tonight, there is a hell. And just as sure as the righteous and the redeemed will be in heaven, the unrighteous and the unholy will be in hell. Those who continue to practice righteousness and holiness in their life, they are going to be giving an evidence of saving faith. That's something that we must be constantly aware of in our life. What are we practicing? Not under our own opinion and not under our own definition, but what are we practicing according to God's Word? Are we practicing holiness and righteousness according to His Word, or are we practicing it totally based upon our opinion? Well, I believe, I think, in my opinion, I've always heard. But what does God's Word say? Are we certain enough about what we're doing and how we're behaving and how we are living? Are we certain enough to base eternity on it? Because that's what we're doing. We are basing eternity, our eternity, on how we live and how we practice our lives today. Does it bring glory to God? Is it about reaching others for Jesus Christ? Are we really worried about seeing people saved? Are we really concerned about that? Because that is what we are going to be judged by. That is what we're going to stand before God, and that is what we're going to be accountable for. Not based upon our thoughts and our views again, but we will be judged according to the Word of God, and we will be stood in measurement against His principles. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but that's scary. That ought to be very frightening to every one of us. That we stand and we feel good about coming to church. We feel good about reading our Bible. We feel good about the things, about the outward things that we're doing. God sees our heart. And He sees why we're doing it. That's what should scare us. Because He sees the truth. He's not going to be judging us based on the outward appearance. He's going to be judging us based upon the inward motives. It's sobering. It is sobering tonight to realize that people's response to God's gospel, to the very truth that is in our hearts in this life, will determine our eternal destiny. If we are saved tonight, we're going to be concerned about the things that God wants us to be concerned about. If we're truly saved tonight, we're going to be concerned about the lost. If we're truly saved tonight, we are going to be concerned about those who aren't in church and could be. We're going to be concerned about them regardless of what color their skin is, regardless of how rambunctious they are, regardless of how immature they are, regardless of any of that. Because if we bring them in under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and under the gospel, God will clean them up from the inside out. Parents tonight have to step up and have to take responsibility for their homes. Only they can do it. I'm thankful that we have the children's programs that we've got here. I'm thankful that they are as well attended and they have the impact that they have. But I have to say this. You can't bring a child to church 1 hour a week and give that child to God for 1 hour a week, and give that child to the devil inside the home and inside the house for the rest of the week, and expect that child to retain much. I'm not saying they can't be saved. I'm not saying they won't be saved. But I am saying that if parents don't take the raising of their children spiritually with the same amount of enthusiasm that they take raising their children physically, they're letting them down. They're letting them down. And because of that, when we come back and we read this passage and we see the unjust and the filthy and we see the righteous and the holy, we have to ask the question, how do people get on both sides of that coin? How do people get on the unjust and the filthy side, and how do people get on the righteous and the holy side? The ones that are on the righteous and the holy side get there because they are saved and because they are taught and because they are matured and edified and they're raised in the Scriptures. The ones who get on the unjust and the filthy side, they are the ones who are always told, don't worry about it. It don't apply to you. You're all right. You're okay. That's where they come from. That's how they have the attitudes that they do, that God doesn't matter. Have you ever really met someone, and I mean met someone who would really look at you and tell you that God didn't matter? I have. I worked with a man. He's retired now. I worked with a man. He was raised in a Christian home. He was taken to church every Sunday morning. He was raised in a Pentecostal home. His mother and his father were avid Pentecostal holiness members, and they were real supportive of the church. This man grew up, and he went to Vietnam. He served in the Navy in Vietnam. While he was in Southeast Asia, he got wrapped up and tied up in some things. And when he came back, he no longer believed in God. Now you can say, well, how does that happen? If he was saved, how does that happen? That's right. If he was saved, how did that happen? Because you were raised in church, and because you go to church and sit in a pew every Sunday morning, does not make you saved. No more than sitting in a garage makes you an automobile. No more than sitting on a creek bank makes you a fisherman. No more than holding a gun makes you a hunter. You have to have that experience of being born again. This man, until the day, he was a very intelligent man, and he would sit down and he would hold a conversation with me, and we would talk Bible, and he was very intelligent on his Bible. He knew it but he didn't believe it. And he would tell me, it's all a real good story, but that's all it is, Terry, is just a story. So no, it's not just a story. It's not a story. It's the reality of what happened in some folks' lives in the Old Testament, and it's a prophecy of what's going to happen in our lives in the New Testament. It is an opportunity for us to be redeemed. It is an opportunity for us to have a new birth. He would look at me and he would say, you can believe that if you want to. I outgrew that a long time ago. And he believed it. How does someone reach that point of being unjust and filthy? They become complacent with just being a placeholder in a pew. They become complacent with being religious. They become complacent and they're satisfied with having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And you want to know the scary part? It can happen to anyone in our family. And it can even happen to any of us who are not certain of their salvation. It can be that bold and it can be that close in your own heart and in your own family's tonight. But those that are righteous, the good news, that's the ugly news. But here's the good news tonight. Those that are righteous, those that are saved, and those that are born again, their eternal destiny is heaven. Yes, they're going to have a lot of struggles. Yes. Yes, they're going to have a lot of issues, a lot of things in life, because the devil's not going to leave you alone. Like I told you this morning in this morning's message, there are only two choices, Satan or Jesus. There's no in-between. There's no middle of the ground. There's no such thing. I heard a lot growing up when I was a young man, a lot of people would talk about straddling the fence. There is no straddling the fence. That sounds good. That may be politically correct to talk to someone about being faithful in church, but there is no such thing spiritually as straddling a fence. You are either on the side of God through Jesus Christ, or you are on the side of Satan through disobedience and rebellion. There's no being in between. Your heart makes that decision. Your spiritual heart brings all of that into perspective. Your actions may be as religious as the grandest person, is the holiest person that's ever walked the face of the earth. But your heart may be corrupt in leading you to those decisions and to those behaviors. That corrupt heart puts you on the bad side. If that heart isn't corrupt, if that heart is born again, if that heart is regenerated, if that heart is looking for Christ, you may make mistakes throughout your entire life. You may make bad decisions in living for Christ, but your heart may be good. Your heart may be pure. Your heart may be clean. Your heart may be covered with the blood of Jesus, and because it is, your eternal destiny is going to be heaven. Now, I will say this about making those bad decisions. It's one thing to make a bad decision ignorantly, and it's another thing to make a bad decision deliberately. If you make bad decisions ignorantly with a pure heart, then God is going to be merciful. If you make ignorant decisions deliberately just because you want to go down that road, you're going to be like the prodigal son, and eventually, like I said this morning, you're going to be wallowing with the hogs. It's just the reality of it. It's just the reality of it. But in this day, where the angel is talking to John, He is telling John, in a nutshell, the heart of that person is going to be the heart of that person. Those who have a hardened heart toward God are going to keep a hardened heart toward God. And those who have a soft heart receptive to the Word of God are going to keep a soft heart receptive to the Word of God. One or the other. No gray areas. No straddling the fence. And then the Lord steps in. The Lord steps in to close out this passage. He says, "Behold." Remember we talked about "Behold" a few weeks ago? When Jesus says "Behold," He says, "Hey, look at this." Jesus says, "I want your attention. Take a look at this." That's what He's telling John. He's saying, "Behold, look at this. I come quickly. I am not wasting any time." Well, preacher, that's been 2,000 years ago. That seems like a long time to me. It does in our book. But it's a very short time when measured in eternity with Christ. He said He's going to come, and in His timeline, in His day, the way that He is looking and counting things, in His perspective, it is a very quick arrival. When will He come? We don't know. I don't know. I take Him at His word. When He says He's going to come quickly, I believe it. And He also says, "My reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." So how is your work tonight? How is your work? Believers' eternal rewards are going to be based on their faithfulness in serving Christ in this life. If we were tested tonight on how we have served Christ in this life, how would we fare? If the Lord come back tonight and He gave out a test, and that test was one that would ask how we have fared in this life in serving Him, how would we fare? Well, we know that if we are serving Christ, we're going to be tested. That means that the work that we try to do is going to try to be derailed. And that's going to happen with the devil. And God's going to allow it to an extent because He wants to test our faithfulness. He knows what our faithfulness is, actually, but He wants to see if our faithfulness can be increased and built up. He wants to know if our breaking point can be increased. You remember how it was in the military when you went through basic training. The entire process was to tear you down so that they could build you back up into the strong person they wanted you to be. Same concept with God spiritually. God has us called to a service, and we are moving out to do that service. And the devil is going to try to tear us down, and God's going to let the devil tear us down and test us so that we can be rebuilt to a strong, serving, working, bulletproof Christian, if you will. We're given the armor of God that's given in the book of Ephesians, and that tells us that that is what we are to fight with. We have the sword of the Spirit in the Bible, which is what we are to fight with. We have the power of prayer, which is how we are to communicate with God. And we're being strengthened with each passing day. The only thing is, with the military, at a point in time, you get to graduate boot camp and move on. In God's service, it is a daily process of growing, of developing, of being strengthened, of being tested, of being torn down so we can be built back up again. And many days, whether we want to admit it or not, we fail God. We fail God because what do we say? "I can't do this. We say, I can't do it. I've had enough. I've had enough. And we walk away. Only to be convicted to come back at a later time and pick it up. That's the beauty of our faith. We may feel like a failure. We may feel like a total failure. But conviction brings us right back to pick up where we left off, and our faith is built. Our faith grows, not in ourselves, but our faith grows in God through the Lord and the Lord's ability to strengthen us and to make us into people that we didn't know were possible. The person that the Lord knows you to be and the person that you know yourself to be are two different. The Lord has plans for you and for me that we don't know anything about. We have to be faithful. We have to be faithful. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. In the end, when the Lord returns, when we are raptured, and when we are taken and we are sitting at the bema seat of Christ and the crowns are handed out, His reward is coming with Him. What will that reward be? What will it be in your life? How will God see His service through your life? Are you going to be one of the unjust and one of the filthy, or are you going to be one of the righteous and one of the holy? Everyone says that they hope. If they hope. Over in the book of 1 John, 1 John tells us that we don't have to hope, we can know. We can know. And that is the encouragement that I want to leave with you tonight. You can know. You can know where you stand with God. You can know where you're at with Him. You may not be where He wants you to be. You may not be where you want to be with Him, but you're going to know. And that is a positive thing. That is something good. You have a starting point. You have a place to build and to grow. Take it. Embrace it. Call out to God. And let Him know you can't do it on your own, but you want the faith to depend on Him. Faith. That's what will get you. Faith in God. Faith in your Savior. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith. That will take you farther in your work for the Lord than anything you could do. You can't earn enough degrees and all of that stuff, and a couple of dollars will buy you a cup of coffee. Faith. Faith will get us there. Let's pray.